Good afternoon, everyone. We praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For he's worthy to be praised. And the Bible says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm just going to invite you to turn in your Bibles to John 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, reading from verse 1. I'm going to just wait till it should pop up on the screen there. John 10. Reading from verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf come in and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Now, it was a feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming? Because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true, and many believed in him there. Here ends a portion of God's holy word. May he add his richest blessing to the reading and hearing of his word, and we honor it by saying amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you again for granting me this opportunity to share your word. I pray, O God, that you will open our hearts to receive it. Lord God, that you will fill us with the power that we need to execute what we hear, so that we are not only hearers of the word, but we will do what is written in this book. Father God, I commit myself to thee, commit to your people before you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. I have titled this sermon, One Flock, One Shepherd. And you probably heard Jesus said those very words in this particular text. One flock, one shepherd. You know, this idea of Jesus being the shepherd, Jesus being the marvelous shepherd. In this text, he says, I am the good shepherd. The idea of shepherd is a very important idea in the Bible. It's a very important concept that we see in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament. Shepherding, not only, you know, because in the time there were farmers of sheep, those who rear sheep. And so it was very easy to pull analogy from day-to-day life, day-to-day living. In fact, Jacob was a shepherd, and he raised flock and he raised cattle. And one of Jacob's sons, Joseph, became very prominent. Joseph had two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they became very significant, even so much so, more significant than Reuben. Reuben was the one that fell from the first place because he went into his father's concubine. Reuben dishonored his father's name, and so he lost his position, so to speak. But there was one of Jacob's son, Joseph, to whom Jacob made a profession of blessing over him. So in Genesis 49, and I think about verse 24, Jacob was blessing all his son, and when he reached to Joseph, he blessed Joseph, a fruitful bow you shall be and all of that, and your branches shall hang over the wall, meaning you shall be very fruitful. But one of the things that he said to Joseph is that a shepherd shall come from you. I don't know, Stephen, could you bring up Genesis 49, 24 for me, please? I think it should be there on the screen. But it says there, when he was blessing Joseph, it says this, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From there is the shepherd, capital S-H-E-P-H-E-R-D. From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Now, there is only one who can be considered the shepherd, the stone of Israel. And everyone knew that that wasn't Moses, that wasn't Abraham, that wasn't Elisha, that wasn't David, as great as he was. That wasn't Isaiah, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah. None of the great kings or prophets can ever be counted as the shepherd of Israel. Isaiah 40 and verse 11, another verse. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, speaking of this mighty God over Israel, and gently lead those who are with young. So the Bible tells us that God is the shepherd over Israel. And when you come to Ezekiel 34 and verse 23, in Ezekiel 34 and 23, he says, I will establish one shepherd over them. And God is that one shepherd. So when Jesus comes now here in John chapter 10, and Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Well, already you understand the words I am. I am the good shepherd. You know that he's bringing out the themes of the Old Testament where God says he is the shepherd over his people. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, verse 1 of chapter 10, but climbs up some other way, that one is a thief and a robber. but he recognized that he is the good shepherd, as we are going to see. So back to Isaiah 40 and verse 11. In Isaiah 40 and verse 11, no, sorry, not Isaiah 40. Go to Ezekiel 34 and verse 23. In Ezekiel 34 and 23, the Lord says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. Oh, and you understand that Ezekiel was writing at a period of time where by this time, was David on the scene? Was David supposed to come? No, David was long dead and gone, my dear friends. Ezekiel was writing long after David was gone. So Ezekiel here is prophesying about the line of David. And in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1, we saw where Matthew traced the genealogy of Jesus Christ through the line of David, because from the line of David will come the good shepherd. And so in Ezekiel 34, here, the shepherds over Israel, they were really horrible. In fact, they were only feeding themselves. They were not taking care of the sheep. And God had some very harsh words against the shepherds, because the shepherds were not shepherding, right? Shepherds are supposed to shepherd. That's the point of you being a shepherd. And so here, they were fleecing the flock instead of protecting the flock. And so in Ezekiel 34 and 23, God says, no, he's going to establish one shepherd. And there is only one shepherd that can be seen as the good shepherd. And this is the shepherd that does not fleece the flock, does not take disadvantage of the people. So in Ezekiel 34, 27, next verse, we read where God also says, David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. God clearly established here in the Old Testament that he is setting up one shepherd. That's the good shepherd. And so Jesus came on the scene, and Jesus clearly makes the statement that I am the fulfillment of all these verses from Genesis 49, 24, on to Isaiah 40, verse 11, on to Ezekiel 34, 23, on to Ezekiel 34, 27. I am the fulfillment of the scriptures. I am the good shepherd. This week, I was watching some Middle Eastern man who seemed like he's a shepherd, and he was talking about the difference between sheep and goats. And one of the things I captured from his speech, since it was a video, I was just typing while he was talking. And the writer says here that, not the writer, but the man that was speaking in this video, he says, goats are troublemakers. He said, this is what he says. And he had goats and he had sheep. He was a shepherd over both. But he said, goats are troublemakers. If you have ever raised goats before, you know goats are just very difficult to deal with. That, for instance, you even have some goats that they will wrap the rope around whatever you tie them on, and they will go around and they will hang themselves. They will hang themselves. They are very erratic and difficult to deal with. But nonetheless, this is what he said. He says this. He said, goats never listen to the shepherd. He said, goats never recognize his voice. They never follow him, like the goats do their own thing. And he says, it is so hard to control goats. Very hard. But then he says, on the other hand, sheep are very obedient. They can recognize the voice of the shepherd. And he said, sheep, follow the shepherd. My dear friends, have you ever seen persons at the back of a herd and driving the herd in front of them? But that's not so with a shepherd. The shepherd is at the front, and the sheep, they are behind, and they follow the shepherd based upon his voice. I cannot but think about Psalm 23, probably the most popular psalm of all the psalms. Because in Psalm 23, we read about another shepherd. Psalm 23 opened up by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. I shall not want anything. The Lord is my shepherd. And the psalmist, he powerfully shows how God himself, has shepherded, so to speak, him as a person, but the nation more collectively. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Wicked shepherds don't lead their flock to green pastures. Right? He lead the flock to arid places, dry places. You can't have the flock eat dry grass. That don't make sense. The Bible says, he leads me beside still waters. A crooked and a wicked shepherd will probably lead the flock to torrentious waters, if that's a word. But lead them to waters that are moving very rapid. But a good shepherd, he leads me beside still waters. And this water, what it does? It restores my soul. Nefesh, throat. It restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. And why? The writer says, for his name's sake. The integrity of the shepherd is on the line. And essentially, the shepherd is going to ensure that he's known as a good shepherd. For his name's sake. And then the writer says, when I go through danger, I will not fear. The shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff is my comfort. Now, I believe that the shepherd in Psalm 23 is the good shepherd. This is what the good shepherd does. And Jesus, to me, picks up this good shepherd's theme and contrasts it with thieves and robbers. The thief and robber is not a good shepherd. Let me put it that way. Keep in mind, my dear friends, that thieves and robbers, or thief and robber here in the Bible, is the same person. The thief and robber is not the good shepherd. In fact, everything that the good shepherd does, I want to call him the thief in robber. Let me call him that. The thief in robber, right? Because you might say to yourself, a thief and a robber, what's the difference? Isn't that the same thing? Like, if you're a thief, that means a robbing, right? And if you're robbing someone, that means you're a thief as well. But anyhow, the Bible says the thief and the robber. So clearly there is an emphasis on the fact that this person is a... Anybody remember this word that they used to teach you a long time ago? Kleptomaniac. Remember that? Oh, where I'm from, they say he has sticky fingers, correct? Right, everything him touched just stick to his hand for some reason, you know? Anyhow, but that's the crooked one here, the thief and the robber. And I refer to the person as the thief and robber, or if you want me to say, thief and robber. Now, the thief and robber does not enter the sheep pen through the door, but he climbs up some other way, the Bible says, because his aim is to cause damage and harm the sheep. And as I said, Ezekiel 34 talks about the irresponsible shepherds who feed themselves instead of taking care of God's flock. But in this passage, though, the basis is more about the robbers who come to harm the sheep. I don't think, as some people say, the basis for this particular text is Ezekiel 34. I think there is a distinction between what is going on in Ezekiel 34 and what is going on in John chapter 10. But let's look at John chapter 10 more in depth. You know, Jesus says here, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the door opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The question you have to ask, who is Jesus talking about? What is Jesus referring to here? Who are the thieves and the robbers in this particular passage that Jesus is talking about? I believe, my dear friends, that Jesus could be referring to the religious system that presents itself as significant, but what it is doing is making people twice the son of hell than before. That is what Jesus said to the scribes and the Pharisees. You travel sea and land to make one convert. But when you convert him, he's twice the person of hell than before. But Jesus here, I think, is making it very clear that the scribes and the religious leaders and the Pharisees, they are entering the sheepfold, the sheep pen, not by the correct means, not through the door. They are going some other way. And I think by Jesus suggesting that they are going some other way, he's saying, no. There is a right way in which to go. And in this text, Jesus is going to make it clear that he is the door. My dear friends, he's making an analogy. He's using shepherd language. He's using sheep language. He's using farmer language. He's using Middle Eastern language to make the claim that those who want to come to God must go through him. He's making the claim that he is the only one that can properly and rightly present our case before God. If Jesus Christ does not present our case before God, there is not another advocate. There is not another one who can go before God. And this is the problem with Roman Catholicism. Because individuals who are on earth, priests, they are called, cardinals and other things they are called, they present themselves like they are the go-between. They are the ones that stand in between, you know, my plea and God's answer and God's response. So I have to go to the father or to the priest for them to pray to God on my behalf. I want to share a story quickly, not to take too long on it, but I was talking to someone not too long ago, and the person apparently was searching for some answers to some spiritual things that they were going through. So they were looking answers all over the place about some spiritual matters, and I guess they got in contact with me and they wanted me to come and to pray about some issues that, you know, they were dealing with. And one of the things that the person said to me, I want you to come because I went to the priest, but he's charging me too much money. I'm not making this up. They said, I went to the priest. And I know the Catholic Church. I don't know the priest, but I know the church. He said, I went to the priest, but the priest is charging me too much money. And I was asking someone if they could lend me the money. Just think about this. I was asking someone if they could. You see, some of them priests probably will be among them, you know. I don't know, you know. They do things, you know. They make things happen in this. Listen, I don't trust some of them systems, you know. I don't trust some of them systems. Because, listen, some of them are just too close to demonism for me. Too close. The lady said, I asked someone if I could get the money from them to borrow, but they never had it available at the time. But it wasn't, by the way, it wasn't some little small portion, you know. I mean, some significant money the person was asking for, you know. And I said to myself, What is going on? You're telling me that in 2021, you have religious people taking money from people and telling them that unless you pay XYZ amount of money, I am not going to pray to God on your behalf. And you, no. I think the worst part, that you have people who believe that. You have people who believe that I must go and try to even borrow money so that I could bring it to the priest so that he can go to God on my behalf. My dear friends, this is sacrilegious. This is insane. This is insane that this could be happening even today. The Bible says we have one intercessor, one mediator, one advocate who stands between God and man. His name is Jesus Christ, and that is why we pray in the name of Jesus. I don't need no one in no robe, with no collar, with no high position in any church. That's why I don't let them fool you, no. They make the church building so beautiful and pretty, and you're like, you know, they must be doing something right. Because their building can't so pretty. And everything can't look so nice if God wasn't blessing that. And today, 2021, many people believe it. See? And they would rather trust the priest and trust the man on earth with their petition to God
instead of calling upon Jesus Christ directly. And that is why, you know, I tell you, thank you, my dear sister. She said, listen, she said, don't worry. Glory Gospel Church is always going to be here, right? Oh, 50 years now, we're going strong. We come here with the Bible, a few of us, and we gather in the name of Jesus. But I can tell you, my dear friends, you will never hear me push out them foolishness there. And any day you hear them foolishness, they come here from this pulpit. You have the right to find another church. Because there's no way that should go forth as the ways of God. Many people are deceived, my dear friends. But Jesus is making it very clear that this is what the scribes and the Pharisees, this is what they do. This is what they do. They put stumbling blocks in the way of the people. Stumbling blocks. And but Jesus said, this is what they do. They come to thief and to rob. But notice this. Look at verse 10. Jesus said, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life. And guess what? Jesus came that people may have life. And they want to kill Jesus. Because we read in the very text here that they took up stones again. Last week I told you they took up stones to kill him. Here they took up stones again to kill him. He came that people may have life and they want to kill him. Then they must love death. It must be that they love death, right? Because if Jesus brought life and you want to kill Jesus, what is it that you are interested in? You're not interested in life. You are interested in something else. That is why Jesus said the thief, he comes to kill and to destroy. And some person said, this is Satan. This is what Satan comes to do. And you are right. Even though Jesus did not use the name Satan in this verse. But it's clear that this is what the enemy comes to do. He comes to kill. He comes to steal. He comes to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you may have life. And have it more abundantly. Keep that in mind whenever the enemy seeks to bring condemnation and judgment. Remember Romans 5 and verse 8. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is very important, you know. This is very important because many Christians don't recognize that when you are in Christ Jesus, you are no longer under condemnation. You are a child of God. You are in the fold, in the power of God. And how this works, this is how it works, my dear friends. You probably got a job yesterday at a very powerful company. Let's call the company name XYZ. Say you got a job at company XYZ. This morning you came to church with a nice hallelujah. Because, you know, you have been looking for a job long time. And now you got a job at company XYZ. Guess what? You are no longer unemployed. You have a nice fat check coming in. That is going to soon start coming into your bank account very soon. Because you are now a employee of company XYZ. But guess what? You see, you come in here and sit down. I see the same person. But you're not the same person. Because you're not unemployed anymore. You are employed. But I see your face. I see your smile. I see you. You're right. I see the person here. I see the individual. But your position has changed. And this is what happened many times. Many persons don't understand how it works when they give a life to Christ. So what is going to happen? Should I see my name in the sky? My dear friends, no. God has now employed you, so to speak. You are now an employee that's probably a bad analogy. But you are now a part of the kingdom of God. You are now a part of the fold. But when I see you in here, I see the same person. Only thing this time I might see a bigger smile on your face, but it's the same person. You're wearing your same clothes, right? You look the same way, but you are not the same. Your position has changed. Hallelujah. But now we are dealing with eternal things because once you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, now you have authority over the grave. The Bible says, which is the final enemy. You have authority over the grave. And so what Jesus, to me, is absolutely highlighting that these scribes, these Pharisees, they came to bring death and destruction. That's what they are doing. By their own ways, by their own dealings, they are bringing death and destruction upon people. But Jesus is making it clear that I am the door. He who believes in me have eternal life. They are never the same again. And so before long, your speech starts to change. Your attitude starts to change. Hallelujah. Before long, you start to say, hey, I see you're going through a little thing, you know. Here is a Bible verse. You know, I was reading this verse this morning. Why? Now you start to preach the gospel. Now you start to share about Jesus Christ. And so that is what happens, my dear friends, when life comes to the sheep. And so Jesus makes it very clear here in verse 10 that that is not what the thief comes to do. He comes to kill, he comes to steal, he comes to destroy. Permit me a few more minutes just to share two main points that I have developed here. Look at verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Notice the thief and the hireling, they come to take life. They come to take the life of the sheep, right? They come to kill and destroy. But the good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep. And in verse 14 and 15, Jesus did say, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I'm known by my own, and the Father knows me. Even so, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In 1 Peter 2 and 25, the Bible says, for you were like sheep going astray. And Peter there is speaking to the church. And Peter says, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In fact, the Bible even, it's very interesting. The Bible even says to us and we quote it every week now, pretty much when we are looking to dismiss. Hebrews 13 and verse 20, the Bible says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. That's how we practically dismiss week to week, that great shepherd of the sheep. And then he says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd that lays down my life for the sheep. In fact, Jesus makes it very clear that he is this fulfillment to me of Isaiah 53. This one that was wounded, this one that was bruised, this one that we did not esteem, so to speak, this one that we turn our faces from. Jesus makes it very clear that he is that marvelous fulfillment of Isaiah 53 in the person of the good shepherd that went to the cross. That is why we gladly and boldly join with the chorus, in the cross be my glory ever, because now we have a shepherd that whose rod and staff protects us. He leads us beside still waters. He comforts us. But push came to shove, and the shepherd laid down his life for us. Are you following me? This is serious business, you know. Because the Bible is making it very clear that generally, people don't give up their life for other people. Rarely you find it where someone is willing to give up their life for another person. And the Bible says that we, while we were enemies and strangers, while we were anti-God, we were against God, that's when Christ gave up his life for us. Now, what else is required for him to prove that he's the good shepherd? Because he's not going to allow the sheep to be devoured. He would rather die first. Are you following? He's going to do all that is necessary to ensure that life, the life of the sheep, is protected. What I'm trying to say is, do you understand, my dear friends, the great love of God that was penetrated upon your heart, that has been penetrated upon my heart, so that God poured out his wrath upon Jesus Christ? That's why the Bible says, look at him and see if there is any sorrow like his sorrow, where the Lord has afflicted him. This is Lamentations 1 and verse 12. What the Lord did to Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says, he who knew no sin, became sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. The Lord poured it out on the good shepherd, all the wrath, and so to speak, so that the sheep can be protected. The flock, the church can be protected. His body can be protected. And guess what? The Bible tells us sometimes sheep stray, you know. Sheep stray. You know, sometimes sheep do them one thing, you know. Yeah, man. Sometimes sheep see a nice little sheepess. No, that's not the word. I'm going to get myself in trouble this morning. But right? Right? No? Well, I just made up that word. But sometimes sheep stray. They wander off from the flock, wander off from the fold, whatever the case may be. And they're gone their own way. Right? One way or the other. Sometimes I have to ask myself, you know. Fun and joke aside, I have to ask myself, Lord, what, in which ways are, reveal to me how I am straying from the flock, you know, how I am doing my own thing and going my own way. But anyhow, it's clear that sometime, as the songwriter says, prone to wander, God, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And in Ephesus, you know, the church of Ephesus, where the Lord knock at the door. Remember, I am the door. Remember, you remember, the whole thing soon come together. But he's knocking at the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, right? You know that, Revelation 3:20. Church at Ephesus, the church that left their first love. And the Lord is calling back the church to come back to your first love. Why? Because the church has wandered from their first love. Christ is no longer priority, like a sheep gone astray. But my dear friends, we know the good shepherd, right? But you would think that he would stay with the 99, no? You would think that he would stay with the majority. Stay with the bunch, stay with the few. But the Bible tells us, no. He lost one sheep. The shepherd count. He did his counting. He took stock. And he recognized that one sheep was gone. And he left the 99. And he went after the one. And he's not stopping till he find it. And sometimes even, you ever see the picture of this yet? The sheep is on the edge of a cliff, just about to fall to its death. And the shepherd come with its staff or whatever and hook the sheep and prevent it from falling and bring it back from the precipice of death. You know what I'm talking about, church. Because many times we stray so far from God, we are on the verge of demise. We're on the precipice of collapse. One more step and we would be wiped out spiritually. Nothing else about Christ in our life. For the rest of our life, we would be serving the devil and eating out a dog pan. We're on the precipice. But we know the good shepherd. He came, man. He came just in time. He was there just in time. Hallelujah, church. Hallelujah, church. He was there just in time. When the devil was like smiling and doing all the thing and thought, I got him now. I shall knock her out. I shall knock him out. This one is going to ensure that she has nothing to do with God. That he has nothing to do with God. This one is going to ensure that she never set foot in a church again. And Jesus said, And that you are plan, the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood. Lord. Hallelujah! The Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Amen. What? What? Amen. Talking about the good shepherd, man. Listen, man, listen, man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I want to sing a song. No, I can't preach no more. Somebody raise a song. I want to sing a song. I just want to sing a song. I want to sing a song. It's a time of praise. It's a time of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody raise a song. Lift up a song to the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank God for the cleansing blood. Thank God. Thank God.
Thank you, Lord.
For thank the Lord. Hallelujah.
For the cleansing
that washes white as snow. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood, my church. There is
precious blood.
There is power one more time. There is power one more time.
Oh, there is power. Power.
Let the church say hallelujah. Let the gates of hell hear you, man. Let the church say hallelujah. Let the church say hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. The Bible says, I shall not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Let the church say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Praise, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You may be seated, you may be seated. I just want to finish right here, finish this last point. Hallelujah. Glory be to his name. Thank you, Lord. The love of God is really, really remarkable, powerful. Nothing like the love of God. He's the good shepherd. Never leave us. He will never forsake us. When the wolves come, when the thief come, when the robber, when the hireling, all those who come to eat up my flesh, they stumble and fell, because the Lord will ensure that no arrow that flies by day nor by night, the Lord will ensure that I am shielded and protected, because I am a sheep. I am a sheep. That's what Jesus wants us to get in a man. Get it, no? He wants us to get it. And listen to this, listen to this, listen to this, listen to this. The other thing I want you to understand how much we are loved. Jesus says this. Jesus said, this is still in John chapter 10. Jesus says this here, that, I'm trying to find the exact verse, but let me see if I find it here. Okay, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And listen to this, verse 28. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And watch this. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. You see that? You think the devil has authority over God's children? Listen, every time some Christian, everything happened, the devil this, the devil that. If they buck the toe, oh, the devil this. If a leaf shake, the devil this. If you cook the pot and the food burn up, the devil this. It's like if you cook food and it burn up, the devil this, the devil. It's like, what? Not a child of God. When you don't have knowledge, maybe you speak like that. But when you are a child of God, you are in the hands of the Lord God Almighty. No, you are walking around, you know, and people see you take the same bus, you take the same car, you drive on the same road, but you are not the same. I told you about, you know, you get the job, you have a, no, you are an employee, right? You look the same, you are the same, but you're not the same. Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him to deliver them. And this is something that is very important. When you are in the hands of the Lord, you are in the hands of the Lord. And tell me now, who can now remove his hands from around me? Satan? Angels? Heights? Depth? Principalities? Powers? Human beings? No, Jesus says, verse 28, neither shall anyone snatch them. No thief. Remember, the thief and the robber come to snatch away. That's what they come to do. Jesus says, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Let me tell you, this is authority. This is power. This is real dictatorship. Because God really runs the show. And I, as a child of God, need to understand this. And sometimes I just don't think I understand it, or I should. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able, he repeats it again, verse 29. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Before, Jesus says, none can snatch them out of my hand. And now he says, none can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Do you understand what double protection means? Double divine protection. The other day I was watching a video, and they were showing the protection around the United States president. And they were showing how many persons are around him to keep him alive. Because I listened to one of the Secret Service leaders, and he says, by any means, that man live. Whoever the president is, right? By any means, that man live. That's their motto, in a sense. I'm not saying officially. But when they go out on the road, by any means, whoever they're guarding, that man or that woman, in the case of the vice president, she lives. They live. So I'm looking at it and I'm like, boy, protection, eh? Lot of police officers, lot of every machinery, lot of, they have planes overhead that probably some of this you probably would know, but they have things in the sky that watching the president, and they monitor everything. They shut down airspace if he's coming into the area. And I'm like, by any means, that man live. And I'm saying, but, and then him die. If him don't know Christ in Ghana hell, just a coffin, you know, just a human being, ultimately, just a human being. But with all that prestige and pomp and pride, and when they move on the parade and the security around the president, let me tell you the truth. It cannot compare to the protection that is around the child of God. Because the child of God has a secret service, but it's not really secret, because you and I know. But they have a form of protection in the hand of divine protection. Jesus said, they are in my hand and they are in my Father's hand as well. You talk about well-protected sheep. Listen, not even the president of the United States is more protected than the believer. I want you to hear me, you know, because it's, the thing is, we get so caught up in, we have to be careful, we get so caught up in, well, was I able to pay my bill, you know? Did I have a pain in my hip? And we get so caught up with temporal and material things that we forget our position in the Lord. And who we are as children of God. We forget how much we are loved, because the world wants us to see material things, my dear friends. And the world wants us to know, well, if you're really loved, everything will work out for you. But no, my dear friends. Paul says, I am pressed but not crushed, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. He knows that even though I am pressed, even though I am persecuted, even though I am struck down, I am still the most protected person on earth, because I am in the hands of Jesus Christ and I am in the hands of the Father. Hallelujah, church. Amen. To God be the glory. Father, we thank you that you have granted us this position, and that, Lord God, by your power and grace divine, you will help us to live through and to have eyes to see this marvelous shepherd that we have. Lord, continue to be with us here at Glory Gospel Church as we look to you and glorify your matchless name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.